Hello, Mrs. Arellano. Praise the Lord. And we've got Sunday school this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for our children. We have Sunday school? Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our children. Thank you for those young generation, oh God, that have your spirit. Papa God, I pray that your teachers, filled with the Holy Ghost, will release your principles, your word, the anointing upon their lives, oh God. Father, let them grow to become great citizens, great leaders of our community, of our church, and of our nation. We pray in Jesus' name, in the name and the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you're visiting, welcome our live stream people that are following our live stream this morning at your wonderful lounge room. If you're in Cairns, you should be in church. But if you're far away, you're very, very, very excused to be sitting before your television screen today. Amen. Where's Guri and not here yet? Oh, praise God. I was going to say congratulations to the 15 years of hard labor. Marriage, I mean. Okay? So don't... Praise God. Let's pray for the word. Papa God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your people, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that there are people of faith. Because it is the thing that we have that is your character, that is your attributes. And Father, you gave it to us, that wonderful faith, the belief, the amazing will to believe, oh God, to stand on your word and to believe everything that you say, regardless of what we go through. Father, we thank you for that. And today, I pray, Lord, that you hide me as you've always hidden me, Lord, from the people. I pray, God, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, you speak to every word that has been inspired in my spirit. Lord, you speak. Speak to your people today so that they, Lord, this morning will receive, God, principles that they're able to walk on in obedience to your word, O God, and applying that into their lives. For seeing that, we will see much fruit, Lord, become in their lives. And Father, I thank you that your word is power, that your word is everlasting, that your word is life and a lamp unto our feet that guides us in all our life, O God. We bring you, Lord, this evening, this morning, and ask you to guide us, O God, by your Spirit, that your word will not come back to you void, but it will accomplish everything that you have purposed. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My word today, the word today is in my spirit, and it's been in for the last 2 or 3 weeks, starting from last Sunday, and the title is Be Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind, Part 2, as we continue to stand on these principles of the Word of God. And I want to read from the book of Joshua, because it is a powerful statement that God made to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, it is a very familiar scripture, but it is a scripture that has helped me, guide me as a pastor of this church in those last couple of years, and it has been such a great encouragement to me, and I've stood on these principles in my life. And this morning, I want you to get something into your spirit this morning. Most of what is going to be released here is just principles of the Word of God. We study and we read the Word of God, but the application part of it is the real important part. Amen? It is the part that becomes great principles in your life, and that helps you to grow. So this morning, I want you to really, really pick something from this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I want to read from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which is a really powerful scripture. So as Joshua, the Bible says, when Moses died, God turned to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Wow. Just a simple statement, just like that. Moses is dead. So all eyes are now on you. And I'm looking at you to be the one that will take this amazing generation of people across the Jordan into the promised land. And then he gave his word and he spoke to Joshua in chapter 8. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Wow. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success, have I not command you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. That promise rings to this very day that you and I sitting in this church must receive. Now, the key principles of this word is really powerful. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Hallelujah. That you may observe to do according, to do what? To do according to all that is written in it. It is not just the word departing from your mouth, but it's the doing of the word that's really, really important for us. And today, I just wanted to bring some really powerful principles on faith and what we have. And, you know, as I've always said, and you've heard me say it every time, that our faith is as strong as the test that he survives. God allows us to go through tests. He doesn't test you, but he allows you to go through it so that you may come out stronger than before when you walk into the test. You know, many of us can walk around and say, praise God, and, you know, God is good, and hallelujah, in good times. But what about the bad times? What about everything when everything is not going good for you? You know, faith really, truly has to be tested. Our faith. And we can say God is good. Hallelujah. We can sing our God, our great is our God in good times. But can we sing our great is our God when the days are down for you? When you're not going through some, when you're going through some tough times, will you still be singing our God is great? Or our good is our God? Hallelujah. See, God allows that to happen. And, you know, our faith is to be tested so we can be, what? Strong. Your strength comes from a tested faith. Kingdom faith is tested faith. It's faith that has been already tested and proven. Hallelujah. So that when you walk around, people say, I can trust this guy, or I can trust this man or this woman. Why? Because he's got strong faith. And faith, when you walk in faith, you carry all these amazing fruits of the Spirit that is clear, that people can see it and people can trust you. People can come to you for advice. People can ask you to pray for them because they know that you've been tested and tried by God. Hallelujah. So the motive is birthed by beliefs and convictions. So one of the things that I wanted you to understand is that the testing of our faith serves not only to show strength, but it also shows our motives. What is your motive for coming to church? What is your motive for believing in God? Why are you believing in God? And if I say I trust in God, why do you trust in God? Hallelujah. Is it because of who he is, or are you just wanting something from him? And many of us treat God like that. And today I want you to understand never to treat God like a poker machine or an ATM machine. That if you want something, you just press a couple of buttons and out comes some cash, or out comes some blessing, or out comes some. We don't worship God because we want something from him. We worship God because of who he is. And that's the question we must ask ourselves. Hallelujah. Satan accused Job for following God only because God had blessed him. If you read the story of Job, he's a very, very rich man, a very wealthy man, very successful man. And Satan says, God, this man is worshiping you and he loves you and he talks about you and all that because you've given him all this stuff. But he said, what about if you take stuff away from him? And Satan says, he will turn around and do something that is not that he wasn't proven to do. And so God is amazing. God looks at Satan and he says, Satan, have you heard about Job? Wow. He says, that's my servant Job. He's different from all these other people here. He said, have you heard about him? He said, he's the one that really, really believes in me. He worships me. He's my man. Job is my man. And Satan says, well, because you've given him all this stuff, that's why he's your man. But you take it out and he will curse you. So he wanted to reveal the motive behind Job's fate, to reveal whether Job would continue to follow God even after he's lost everything. See, this is the kind of faith that you and I must discover now. The title of this message is Be Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind. Today, I want you to be transformed as you're receiving this, because it's really key principles that have guided my life. So why did people consider Jesus' words a hard teaching? And I always say this, because following Jesus doesn't guarantee you anything. Doesn't guarantee you fish and bread. Doesn't guarantee you a new house. Doesn't guarantee you all these blessings. Jesus said, just follow him. And that's why people say your teachings and it's so hard following you. And many people follow Jesus, and when they don't get something out of him or of him, they leave. It's tough following Jesus. Hallelujah. He never promised that. Calling them to follow him without knowing the outcomes in advance. Content to leave the future in his hands. That's what God called you and I to follow him. To leave the future in his hands and live today because you're breathing today. He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Have a good sleep tonight. Get off stress. Don't worry about this stuff. He said, leave today because today is yours. Why? Because you're breathing right now. That day belongs to you. Breathe. Yes, today is mine. Because tomorrow may not be yours. And that's why God says, leave tomorrow for him. That's the kingdom of faith. That's the kingdom faith. Faith that trusts God whether he blesses us or not. Hello, somebody. Amen. That's the kind of faith that we must have. Yeah. Worship God because of who he is. And not because you want some blessing. And because he doesn't give you that blessing, he said, oh, I stopped following God now because I didn't get anything out of it. Hallelujah. Kingdom faith, trust Christ no matter what, because it is what is said in his word that he has the words of eternal life. We follow Christ because of what he's promised us. Because we are not just people anymore now. We are high priest unto whoever we are with. In your house, in your workplace, you are a new creation in God. You are a kingdom citizen. You're a peculiar people. You don't belong to this part of the world anymore. You live on this earth, yes, but you don't belong to this earth. Hallelujah. You live on two earths or two worlds on one earth. Hallelujah. I like that. You can tap into that other world that you can go in by faith. And you can go in the other world that you are right here physically walking on this earth. You can reach into those two parts. Hallelujah. Because you've got that ability to do it. Whoa, hallelujah. And I'm excited about that. King David discovered that, and he wrote in Psalm 63, verse 3. And listen to what it says. It says, because your love is better than life. Wow. It says, your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. That is the reason why David said that. He says, because your love is greater than life. It's greater than everything that you've given me. It's greater than all this house and cars and jobs and blessing. He says, your love is better than all that. And then he says, then my lips will glorify you. Hallelujah. Don't build your faith on what God showed you. Build your faith on God. Kingdom faith is, like I said, tested faith. Build it on God. Don't build it on what he showed you. Don't rely on God showed me something and I've got to. No, you believe in him. Just believe in him, whether he shows you something or not, whether he gives you a vision or not. You believe in God. Hallelujah. There are many of you sitting here this morning and you've prayed prayers like this. God, show me something. Show me a sign. Nothing happens. Amen? It's happened to me too. Or you're just some special people that everything happens to you. Hallelujah. We prayed prayers asking God for something, nothing happens. And it is not because God is not there. He's right there with you. But you know, he didn't say, touch me or feel me or see me. What did he say? He just, believe in me. Wow. He just said, believe in me. Simply believe in God. Don't see him before you believe. Don't touch him before you believe. Don't hear him before you believe. He says, believe in me, hallelujah. And God said this, and Jesus repeated his word. And when we believe in him, that's when he will reveal himself to us. Hallelujah. Don't just believe that he exists. The devil also believes that God exists. Believe that he said in this book, the scripture that I just read you, believe in that. Believe in this book. That is the reason of why we're here this morning, is to believe in this book. Because at the end of the day, what the Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away. But my word, hallelujah, will last forever. That's what we believe in. Hold that closer to your heart all the time. He says, Joshua, meditate on this word day and night. This principle shall not leave you. It shall bless you when you walk in it. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power? The Holy Ghost power that lives in you. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Spirit to live on this earth. Otherwise, you will still fall back to your old ways, because the pull of the world is so strong like the magnet. That's why Paul says you got to beat yourself, put into subjection. Get fight to stay in the right path all the time. The obligation to walk righteous and holy is yours. It's not God's. God's already paid the price on the cross. He's done all that. He's given you the way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through me. Then he says, but no one can come to me unless the power of the Holy Ghost draws him to me. Hallelujah. What power? He says, now according to him who is able to exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask for or think, according to the power that lives or works in us. Hallelujah. I love that scripture, Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives bodily inside of you. Hallelujah. Therefore, he says that same spirit will give you life and life abundantly. And not life when you go to heaven and be together with God for eternity. No, life right here on this earth. Hallelujah. You can walk in life right here, right now. Amen. My sister's going to be baptized this afternoon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Gave herself to Jesus on Sunday morning. Greatest decision she's ever made in her life. And I know many of you also have given your heart to Jesus. But she says, can I get baptized? I said, you sure can. Let's just find some water somewhere and just put you in there. Remember the story of Phil? That's what it is. And I'm excited about you getting baptized. I have to kind of bring that in. Hallelujah. Miracles don't change minds, my friends. Miracles doesn't change minds. Look at the example in the Bible. The Israelites saw amazing miracles. Some of the most powerful miracles that you can ever think of, or even dare to think of. How many times have God done miracles for these people? None of us have experienced these miracles. None of us have seen the Red Sea part, or Cain's Arba opened up, or some manna coming down from heaven. We've never seen that physically. The Israelites have. That's why miracles doesn't change people's minds. But I know that God has done part C's for you in the spirit. In your spiritual war, God has part C's for you. Hallelujah. He's given you manna in the spirit. Hallelujah. That's what we can see. But there's amazing miracles like that. That's why God says, believe in me. And none of us have experienced those physically, but spiritually we have. So they've seen it all. They have entered into the promised land. Only those who believed entered the promised land. This is part of what I said about the wilderness. That's why wilderness is really good for us. It's a good place. It's a place where we leave those who don't believe. Hallelujah. And move into the promised land when we walk in belief. Hallelujah. It's a place where we leave those who murmur and complain and grumble and do all these things. And this is the generation that says, come on, we're going to go in there. This is the kind of faith they had, where they see grasshoppers, or they see giants as grasshoppers. That's the kind of faith that God wants you and I to have. That is where the scripture really blesses me. And I've discovered it in my life. So I don't really worry about life or to strive for anything. Or, you know, I've lived my life in this world seeing God's blessings and God's hands. And always content with what I have. Amen. Always. Hallelujah. I didn't have a car for 10 years when I first arrived here. I rode a bicycle everywhere. Judith walked to shops everywhere. We didn't have a car. We don't need a car. Hallelujah. If I was living still in town, I probably wouldn't need a car. I was riding bicycles all over the place. I was sharp. I was looking good. I had six pack. I had hair. I was. All right, I better stop here. Hallelujah. I just simply follow the principles and allow him to order my steps. That's what I'm trying to bring to you this morning. So Psalm 139, verse 16 says, your eyes saw, I love this scripture. And I thought about Guriana when I was reading this scripture. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body. Ooh, hallelujah. Guriana is pregnant with twins, so she'll be giving birth pretty soon. This is what God says. He says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Hallelujah. Every day you wake up, tomorrow you wake up, that day was written in God's journals for you already and given to you. Hallelujah. And I like this. God already finished our parts. Our life has already been, the timeline that you and I have, God's completed that. All we're actually doing is reliving what God has already created for us. It's just taking us through where he's already been. That's why I like this word and I keep saying this. We've come from the place of finish. Our lives have been finished. You have a complete life right now sitting in this room. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, and complete in your life. Hallelujah. So God finished it. That's why when you live life without Christ, you are experimenting with life. Life doesn't belong to those who are just experimenting it. Life belongs to God. He's the giver of life. That's why you cannot live on this earth without Christ Jesus. You cannot live and function as a human being or as a kingdom person without the Holy Ghost. You cannot understand your own life and how best to live it until you've come to the one who created you. That's why we are here this morning. Christ must be the center of your life in order for you to fully live your life according to the book that he has written about your life. This is a mirror. Every time you look into this book, it talks about you. It's a mirror of your life. It mirrors your life. Hallelujah. That is why, you know, most of us have lived irresponsible, malfunctioning lives until we came to the Creator. And he got us functioning properly again. Hallelujah. I hope that every one of you are functional. Amen? It's very quiet now. We used to be all shady characters. I love that. Until, you know, shady characters with irresponsible lives and malfunctioning lives. Until God turned up, hallelujah, and align us, align with him, imputed righteousness, as we heard from the communion message this morning, imputed righteousness in us, and then align us. See, holiness is not some strange thing. That's why Jesus said, be holy like my Father in heaven who is holy. You can do it. Why? You got the Holy Ghost. You can do it. Align yourselves with his word, with his precepts, with his principles, and everything is going to be good for you. It's promised in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, do not let this word depart from me, your mouth, day or night. He says, meditate on that, and your life will be good. I like that. If somebody comes to me and says, do this, and your life will be good, I said, praise God. And I'm happy that I'm doing something that my life is good because I've applied my life according to the principles of the word of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his paths or his steps. Notice the Bible says a man's heart. We were never created to see vision with our eyes, because our eyes will see things that they always are, as it is. You'll see things as it is with your eyes. But the faith that we live and breathe and walk in comes from our eyes, which is the heart. That's why the Bible calls it the innermost being. So when you place the word of God in your mind, you will always meditate. You will always memorize it, but it doesn't work in your life. The moment you place it in the heart, the Bible calls it the innermost being of your human body, your subconscious mind. then things start to work. If you're watching pornography, and if it's in your head, it will go to the heart. And when it's in the heart, it's hard to get out. If you're committing adultery, if it goes to the heart, it's hard to get out. If you steal, it gets to the heart, it's hard to get out. Because that's where God says in the what? In the innermost part of your being, out comes the rivers of living waters. That's why whatever we put in there has to be clean. That's why this place has to be clean by releasing living waters to you. Rivers of life must go to you from a clean place. Pure hands and clean heart, or pure hearts and clean hands. Hallelujah. Vision comes from the heart. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10 says, remember the former things, that those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end of the beginning. From the ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Wow. That's God's promise to us. So our eyes should never be a thing that we use to see vision. Our hearts has to. If you use your eyes to see vision, you will see giants. You will see grasshoppers as giants. Many of us walk around with vision in our eyes, seeing grasshoppers as giants. The Joshua generation, Caleb and Joshua, when they went in there, they said, these giants are like grasshoppers to us, because they're looking at it from their hearts, not their eyes. Hallelujah. Their belief and faith came from the heart. It's just as a mindset thing. It's a heart thing. It sits in there. So I want to encourage you, church, do not believe what you see, but believe what you saw. Joseph had a dream. He was going to become the prime minister of Egypt. He saw that in his dream. Hallelujah. But the amazing thing was, when he was thrown into the pit, he wasn't worried about seeing the pit, or worried about where he is, or that he's going to become a slave or a prisoner. He wasn't worried about that. He saw something, hallelujah. And he believed it in his heart. So he wasn't looking at what is was happening around him today. He was looking at what God has already showed him, hallelujah. Because he believed in what he saw. So his circumstances and the very situation that he was in didn't discourage him, nor did it kill his faith. His faith wasn't destroyed because he wasn't using his eyes to see things. He was using his heart. And that's why following Jesus and coming to God is a heart thing. It's not something we think about. It's not a mindset thing. It's not a mind thing. The battle is always in your mind. Some of the greatest battles on this earth today is fought where? In your minds. That's why God said, put it here. Put all this here. Read it and put it where? Here. Put it in your heart, because that's where it bears fruit and becomes strong. You become a man of integrity and principle when things sit inside your heart. Hallelujah. Church, that's the kind of transformed mindset that God wants us to have today. Your transformed mindset is not just here. It's here in your heart. Hallelujah. One of the greatest tests of faith is when God takes his time to answer your prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody say, amen, Pastor. God loves to take his time. Because there's one thing that changed and transformed my life, and that is, in the fullness of time, God will bring to pass everything that he's promised you. Not according to your time, but according to his time. Hallelujah. And that's the greatest step of test here, is when you ask God for something and he takes his time. It's not the answer that he's interested in. Amen? He's interested in what you're doing while you're waiting for the answer. That's the part that interests God. That's the real test of faith. Are you still going to have confidence in the waiting period after you pray? Hallelujah. These are some of the principles that we must understand, that we operate according to God's time and not our time. Hallelujah. I love this word. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. We can never comprehend his ways. All we have to do is what? Believe. Turn to your neighbor and said, I believe. Hallelujah. You know that man when Jesus healed, and that man, he said, "Jesus, I believe," but he says, "Help my unbelief." Yeah. Well, he believed in Jesus, but he says, "Help me believe that unbelief that's still hanging around." That's the thing that helped me to believe. He says, "Help my unbelief." Hallelujah. So we must be people of faith who is still what? Sing how great is, how good is our God. How great is our God. Sing that in good times. Sing that in bad times. Hallelujah. There's so many examples of test faith in the Bible. But I think the best example of it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. 30 years old. Started his ministry. At 12 years old, he was what? He knew his mission. He already knew what he was going to do. He told his mother, "I must be about my father's business." At the age of this 12 years old, and at his birth, the angels announced that he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. And the wise men came and confirmed it, but yet didn't trust him. Why? Because he had to still go through his test. Hallelujah. And now he is ready at age 30, according to his Jewish custom, to become a rabbi. He is ready to begin his mission, and God said, "Not yet. Let me just test you first. Let me take you into this test and allow you to go through this test." But he got baptized. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit himself led Jesus into the wilderness and be tested. And the word test there is the word tempted in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. In verse 14 it says, "And Jesus returned in power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. He went in and then the Holy Spirit came upon him. And when the Bible says when he came out, one man had so much power that he had to release it somewhere. But at that time, the humans that he created, it weren't clean yet by the blood. That's why he could not put that power into them until he what? Went on the cross and shed his blood and took it as atonement sacrifice to God and says, "Here, present it before God." He says, "Now, clean all these guys. Give them some blood transfusion, hallelujah, so that they can be ready to receive this power called the Holy Ghost that I'm going to put and impute in them." That's why they did it. And now you, when you come to Christ and give your heart to Jesus, and the Holy Ghost comes and lives inside of you, hallelujah. That's the same power that was in Christ is now in you. Hallelujah. What an amazing revelation that we can have this morning. And verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in power of the Holy Spirit." God is now ready to use him to fulfill his mission on earth. And here's the sobering question. If he had to be tested, then why shouldn't we go through the same test? What makes us special that we should not go through the same test that he went through? He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And that's why wilderness is good for us. Wilderness is good that you get tested and tempted and tried. And when you come out of the wilderness, hallelujah, you sharpen to the brim, hallelujah. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is now inside of you. And when you come out, you can do exactly greater things that he has done. Not more than him, but a lot more than what he has done on the small real estate called Israel. Now you are sitting in Australia. Now you came from Africa. Now you're in the Philippines. Now the Holy Ghost is everywhere in the world. Why? Because of this one power that came from Christ Jesus. After he's cleansed the vessel that has to carry his spirit. Hallelujah. I said this before. I think the most dangerous prayer that you and I can pray is, "God, use me." Never pray this prayer with ignorance. Hallelujah. Don't you come to this altar and say, "God, use me mightily," with ignorance. Because he will, and he will test you. Every time you open your mouth to confess something, Jesus said, when Peter said, "Jesus, I will follow you. I will not backslide. I'm going to stand with you. Nothing will take me away from you." And as soon as he opened his mouth, Jesus said, "Satan is knocking at your door, Peter. He's about to give you a test." Every time you say, "Christ, I'm going to follow you," Satan will knock on your door. There has to be a test. Hallelujah. So don't get discouraged when you fell from grace and fall from grace, because his grace will bring you back. But it's the place that you need to stand and understand that, because you don't want to go back to that place. We don't want to treat the work, finished work of the cross with disrespect. It has to be a place where you transform and change forever. Hallelujah. And you make the decision to stay at that place. Every time you say, I'm going to follow Christ, oh, I'm a Christian. Like we said, a target automatically comes on your head. When you go shopping at Target, remember you also carry a target. Hallelujah. I like that. You know, I get arrows thrown at me and stones thrown at me. I'm just a sitting target for everybody. People don't like what we preach. People complain, send messages. You know, God has taught me one lesson. Never to answer your critics. Never. I never send emails back to answer people's angry things or comments or things like that. I say, you want to see me? You know where I am. Come and sit down face to face with me and talk. Don't hide behind those keyboards. Hallelujah. Come and sit down, talk to me face to face. You have a problem? We'll go to the Word of God and deal with it the way God wants it to be dealt with. Amen? Not behind some keyboard and throwing some kind of doctrine that you found in your dream somewhere. You know, someone did it and then everybody else is following the wrong thing. So it's really important for us to understand. Amen? Hallelujah. So if God is going to use you like he used his son, he's going to lead you into the wilderness and allow you to be tested. Everybody, like I said this morning, needs the wilderness. Every road to the promised land leads through the wilderness. And finally, the million-dollar question is this. Have we still got that faith? Where is that faith? Is it still with us? Hallelujah. And sometimes we think we already have the answers to this. But you better check it. Make sure it's still there. Because I've known people that believe in Christ and walked away from him. I've known people that have seen the miracle of Jesus Christ and walked away from him. The great falling away is talking about the church. It's not talking about the world. The world is already falling away. But the falling away happens in the church when people stop following him. Because why? They said his teaching's too hard. His words are too hard. A lot of people left him. He turned around to the 12 and he said, and you 12, are you leaving too? And I just like what Peter. Peter's always the one that shoots himself in the foot every time. They always push him to say something, Peter. He's the boss. He's the boss of the group. So every time something happens, they have to. Peter gets the blame all the time. So they push him over. He says, say something, Peter. Where would we go? You have the words of life. Hallelujah. I love that. That's a powerful statement. Hallelujah. So what are we, our faith is in? What faith, what are we putting our faith in? Is it in our finances? Is it in material wealth? Is it in doctors? Is it in television ministries? You better check your faith. Where is it? And here's an answer. I'll tell you the answer. A very interesting answer. And it came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's found in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus said four simple words. He says, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Yes, he turned water into wine. Yes, he walked on top of the sea. He healed Peter's mother from fever. He paid the taxes. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He did all that. He calmed the storm. Then he says, have none of this and don't even think about these things. He said, what? Have faith in God. Don't believe in all this. Don't put your faith in miracles and signs and wonders. He says, believe in God. Amen. Believe in the creator of the signs and wonders. Amen. Not the signs and wonders and not the works. When we go to crusades and we come back, people say, Pastor Ben, you know, oh, it was really powerful and God was really moving and lives were transformed and people were getting healed and blah, blah, blah. I said, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I gave them Jesus' words. Believe in God. Don't believe in all this because that will go away and where is your faith going to be next time? Hallelujah. He says, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Turn around to your neighbor and says, where's your faith? Tell him, my faith is in God. My faith is not in my wife or my husband or my jobs or the doctors or what they say or what they do. My faith is not in the education system of this world. My faith is not in all that, except my faith is in who? God. Hallelujah. Don't build your faith on what God showed you. Build it on God. Kingdom is tested faith. It's tested faith. Friends, it's time to prepare for war. And the war, I mean spiritual warfare. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking into Jesus. I love this scripture. I think Pastor Bill quoted that scripture. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand side of the Father or of the throne of God. What was the joy that Jesus was looking at? Jesus saw millions and millions of people come into Christ. Millions of people come into the kingdom. That was the joy that was set before him. Amen. And when he saw that and he saw the cross and he asked the Father, he says, is there another way we're going to do this? But then he looked at there and he says, oh, that's too much. I need to do this. I'm just paraphrasing. You won't find it in your Bible. Hallelujah. He saw the joy that was set before him, and there's the cross before him, and he took the cross because of that. And that's why you and I are here today. Hallelujah. Despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand side of the throne of God. And that's what you and I should look like. Eternity, look forward to. Eternity is a long time, my friends. The joys of today will fade away. The things of this earth will fade away. But eternity is what God wants you and I to be. Hallelujah. We're going to rule and reign with him. Can you get that into your spirit today? This is not some fairy tale stuff that you see in Hollywood. This is the word of God promised to us. Hallelujah. And the apostles, these 12 guys, I think about them all the time. These 12 men, they lived and breathed and ate and walked and talked with him. And the moment he says, I'm going away, they all started to freak out. They said, what? Where are you going? Because they're used to having him around physically. But he says, don't worry, I'm going to go. But then he says, but I'll be back by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he's still here today. Hallelujah. What joy was set before God. Millions of souls coming to Jesus. It's a man and women redeemed. In other words, people that motivated his activity never about himself. It was people that motivated the cross for him. Motivated him to the cross. Not about him. Most Christians have a vision of a big house, a big car, good jobs, all that kind of stuff. That's great, but you know, sometimes it's pure covetousness as well. We covet of the things of the world. The Bible says, be content. Content with what you have. Be content with life. I get up in the morning and I breathe and I say, God, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family's life. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the blessing that you've given me. Whether we eat tomorrow or we don't eat tomorrow or we eat today, thank you that we have life. And that's the greatest thing that you can ever say to God in the mornings. Thanking him for the very breath that you have. Hallelujah. Because when you're breathing, you're actually mentioning God's name every time. Yahweh. It's amazing. If you study that, it'll blow your mind. God is an amazing God. That's why it says, I am who I am. Hallelujah. Vision is never self-promoting. My friends, I'm talking about these things because we don't have vision to promote ourselves or promote something. Our vision has to include people. People are included in our vision. Serve people's vision. Vision will, you know, we will never understand this, but the authority and serving in church is really important for us because we continuously connecting and dealing with people. Christ said, the greatest among you shall become slaves of all. And that's why people like us are just water boy for Jesus. There's a specific fellow that walks around and says, me one blow, water boy blow Jesus. I'm just his water boy. I carry his water. I carry his briefcase. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I are. My friends, and when he started his ministry, he was 30 years old. But he went into the ministry, it was not about half-hearted, like most people do. Start something and drop it to tomorrow. And he stayed with it all the way through because that was the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. I just want to read a quote by a great man. I'm coming back to us now, focusing as a church and what we should be doing as a church. Because each and every one of you today, as that faith that I'm talking about today. And each and every one of you have a gift to be able to serve God's kingdom. Hallelujah. And this is a great quote by Theodore Roosevelt. And I like that quote because it's really powerful. It says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how strong a man stumbles. It is not at spectators. Spectators are good at pointing and saying, ha ha, they fail. And you know, the world is waiting for you and I to fail. Your family waiting for you to fail. Your family who do not know Christ waiting for you to fail. People are waiting for you to fail. The world is waiting for you to fail. And then they will point fingers and say, ha ha, this is spectators. But he says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how strong man stumbles, or the doer of the deeds could have done them better. He says, the credit belongs to the man or woman who is actually in the arena. If he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. Wow. What a great word. So that his place shall never be with those cold, timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Hallelujah. Have victory and have defeat in Christ. Both. Amen. Have some bad times. Have some good times. Both in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Because then you can stand strong and say, yeah, I've gone through all that stuff. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 to 12. I've got three more scriptures and I'll finish. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing what? Steadfastly in prayer. Wow. God has given us some of the great tools to be able to work and to achieve the work of the kingdom on this earth, even in your own family, in your own life. And he says what? I've got to read it again. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know what? He's adding all the wonderful fruits of the Spirit into this scripture. Hallelujah. I used to wonder, why did God put long-suffering in there? That's a tough one. Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, he says, on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. When you come before God today and stand before God and confess that you're going to walk with him and talk with him and follow him wherever he goes, then he says, that's a good confession that you've done in the presence of many witnesses. Stand on that path. Hallelujah. And let the author and the finisher of your faith lead you and guide you and finish the good work that he has started, he says, already started in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, it says, for I am already, what? Being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have what? Fought the good fight of faith. Or fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this appearing. Hallelujah. I really love this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And I will say to you, you hear me say this all the time to you, let that be your parting speech. Put it over your coffin and says, yeah, read this. Don't let people come and cry over your coffin. Yes, read this and rejoice, hallelujah. Read this word at a funeral and say, for I am already being what? Poured out like a drink offering. That's my going away speech. That's our going away speech. That you're able to confidently say things like that, hallelujah. Because death has no sting in our life, my friends. All death weighs your sting. Doesn't touch you. Your life transcends from this life through the grave, out to the other side. Hallelujah. And that's the two worlds that you live in on this earth today. You can tap into that world of faith and reach into the promises of God or walk on this earth with his principles and his prayer. Praise the Lord. That is the word of God for us this morning, my friends. That's the second part of be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm talking to the Joshua generation this morning. And the Joshua generation is not a generation of old and young. Understand this, please. The Joshua generation is those who what? Who obey the word of God. Those who take on the word of God and says, I'm going to stand on this word. I'm going to not let this word depart from my lip. I'm going to meditate on it day and night. That's the kind of generation that God wants for his church today. Yeah. Amen? And all of you are included in this generation. If you're going through some wilderness time today, I would like to pray for you. That's the whole idea of us bringing this word, because that's the thing that God puts a burden in your heart, and you know, and I know that we've all gone through that road before. All of us, me included. I've gone through my wilderness. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I came out of that wilderness stronger than when I went in. And I know that many of you today are going through some wilderness. Let's pray. God says, come on, come together. Let's pray, it says. That word again. Let me just read that word again. It says what? Beautiful word. It says what? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in what? Prayer. Let's pray for you today. Pray that you will go through this wilderness strong and come out of it strong as well. Hallelujah. Amen. I want the musicians to come. Hallelujah. And I want the singers and just the piano player. And then we can bring the band up later. But I really want to pray for you this morning. When I look down and I see your faces, and I'm so happy that you are still here. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy that nothing has happened to you. That nothing, you know, you've not gone into any situations where it has taken your life. Every time I look and I see a face and I'm thinking, praise the Lord, we're still here together. And that's I rejoice that in that a lot all the time. And so today I just want to give that opportunity to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you walk away, listen, the kingdom of God is not about in and out, in and out, in and out. The kingdom of God is about coming in and taking this word, applying it into your life, and walk in that place. Because let me warn you again, this great falling away happens in the church. Many people leave God, stop believing in God, and end up in a place where they're not supposed to end up. That's why there's a whole lot of scriptures in the Bible warns us about these things. To be diligent in what we've already given our life to. Whether you serve in church or not, whether you're just living a normal life with your family, your life has to be transparent in a lot of other, because people are waiting for the church to fail. People in the world now are tired of hearing sermons. They want to see life lived by Christians. They don't want to hear you telling them about God anymore. They want you to prove to them that there's a God that is in your life. When I gave my heart to Christ, I was still touring and playing drums for Yota Yindi. I preached once only to a good friend of mine who gave his heart to the Lord and has passed on now and is in glory with God. But I walked the talk. And walk the walk. They are watching you. People are watching you. And all of us should be great ambassadors of Christ. If we have the Spirit of God, then let's walk in that place. You know, there's a great teachings that we're going to bring or classes on integrity. Walking in integrity. These are important for us as representative of God. Not this in and out business. I was a Catholic boy and I was an in and out boy. I know what is it like to go and confess my sins to a priest and do it every Sunday. Go live like the devil from Monday to Saturday. Then Sunday try to become a saint and dress up really nice, pray, look good. But inside, it's death. And go and you confess your sins to a priest. Then you're out again and you live the same lifestyle again. This is not the kingdom of God that we're talking about this morning. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost. So that you don't go back to that place. You stay in that place. Because the moment you put your will and your trust and your hope in faith in the Word of God, your family gets blessed. You set a path for the next generation that's going to come. We are responsible for the generation next. We don't think about ourselves now. We think about the children that you are carrying right now and breastfeeding and looking at it and going, your generation is going to be good. Well, you better walk in a place where that generation is going to be good. That's my concern for the church. That's my concern for us as mothers and fathers and uncles and those who are in this generation today. Because we raise up a nation, and that nation, if we want to see revival in a nation, then raise our kids the way God wants us to raise them. And live your life transparent to them so that they follow you, they see you. I followed my father because he was a good man, married one wife. I've never seen him argued with my mom. I've never seen him raise his hands before my mom. And, you know, to me, that was a good father. And he guided me, just him, being him, walking and talking. And we saw it and we go, that's what marriage is all about. That's a good marriage. And there's eight of us. It's a Catholic family. We believe in we're multiplying and replacing the earth. There's eight of us. I'm thinking, Dad, man, that's this guy, gee. But he raised eight people, eight little people, and brought them into this world and brought a great generation of people. Fathers, listen to me today. Mothers, listen to me. All this that we've talked about today is faith. Yes. But we have an obligation for a generation. I go to school and I look at these kids and my heart cries out to these children all the time. What are their generation going to be like? They're facing some really weird things right now. They're confused people inside schools right now. Little people, our little people are confused. That's why you get the Word of God and you bring to your children. You, fathers, are responsible for the Word of God. You go and you get it in the Spirit. In Revelation, pray, get the Word of God, and you bring it to your children, and you bring it to your wife, and you bring it to your household, and you give it to your children. Man, that's how we build a generation of God-fearing people. You want to change Australia? You start now. It's not late. We start now. We start with our children. Hallelujah. And if the Lord tarries, we have time to change this nation. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's my heart. I'm just talking from my heart now. My innermost being, hallelujah. Let's pray. We open the altar to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, you know that many of us don't have these kind of burdens until we come to you, until we discover life from the giver of life. And this burden that you've placed in our hearts as pastors of the church. Lord, I know that I've never carried this burden before, but it's burning strong in my spirit every time now. And Father, as I stand before your people and bring these principles and precepts before them, I thank you that it is through your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit will change people. It is not me. And Father, I've obeyed and I've stood and I've said what you've asked me to preach. And Lord, I thank you now that the Holy Spirit, you do your work in the hearts and the lives of those that are here this morning. Thank you. No matter how young they are, old they are, there's no such thing as that. It is the Joshua generation. It is the generation of those who walk in obedience to your word. It is the generation of those who believe in your word. It is the generation that those will take up your word, your principles, and apply it in their lives. It is the generation of the doers of your word. And Lord, I thank you. That is the Joshua generation. And I pray that this church will be so full of Joshua generation mindsets, oh God, that our minds are already transformed. For your word says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And Father, today, not just our minds have been renewed, but our hearts have been renewed by the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that those who are here this morning, they're here to hear this. It is the day today. And Father, we bring, Lord, all your people, young and old, before you today, that you touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit, each and every person. Lord, as we heard that we don't have to sense anything. We don't have to see anything. We don't have to touch anything. Only believe in your word. Only believe in what you've already spoken to us. So, Father, I just thank you. Thank you now, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you do your work now, Lord, in the hearts and the lives of your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you walked away from God, make this a time where you don't play around with His word or play around with salvation. Make this a time where you'll make a serious change in your life. Make this a time that this is just a decision that will never change. It'll stay the same forever. If you walked away from God, this is the opportunity for you to do it right here, right now. I want you to close your eyes. We have had many good salvations in the church, and we believe that it is important for salvation. And we believe that your soul, your spirit has to be transformed first. The body is just a vessel that carries your spirit. The body goes down, but the spirit lives on. That spirit belongs to God. The word of God says in Jeremiah 1:5, I love that word. It says, even before you were in your mother's womb, He knew you, purposed your life. Now He wants you to bring your life back to Him. Align it with His word. Align it with Him. And walk in His precepts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Janet. If you have other needs as well, come. But I want to pray for salvation. I want you to come. If you are going through some tough times, some wilderness, let's pray. Let's stand together in this place of wilderness together. Hallelujah. Whether it's small or big, it always starts small, and then if we leave it, it becomes a giant in your life. If there's a giant in your life, let's transform it into a grasshopper. Get it out of your life. Hallelujah. See?